I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Joseph Sternberg. He's in London for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, writing political economics and also participating in a new video I recommend highly to understand Liz Truss's 44 days in office as prime minister, now explaining some of the intricacies of how the parliament conducts itself. She's now separated herself quasi-quartung. She's hired a new chancellor of the exchequer who delivers a budget that is recognizable to the blob. It's the way things always have been. We're not going to grow. We're going to raise taxes, that sort of thing. However, the crisis at the Bank of England has ebbed some, having to do with the fact that it never had anything to do with Liz Truss. It had to do with Andrew Bailey. And Liz Truss believes now she must turn to another way of growing the budget or growing the country, and that has to do with energy. She wants to be a fracker. And, Joe, there's more trouble coming. It's not just the blob. They're afraid of even stopping the ban. Is this still true, Joe? Is this ancient history? Or are they still frightened of fracking?
No, fracking remains enormously controversial over here. And I think that this is the other important part of the political backdrop that helps on, you know, helps you understand what actually happened in the UK in that period. Because, you know, she had a complete view of the economy. It wasn't just sort of thinking that you could do a very simplistic sort of cut a few tax rates here or do energy subsidies there and everything will work. I mean, there was actually a comprehensive vision, although it was not always very well communicated. And part of that was dealing permanently with the energy price problem, not by just planning to subsidize forever, but instead by trying to bring new production online. And so that was how she came to be embroiled in this fight with her own party, the Conservatives, about fracking onshore, because, you know, it's been obvious for quite a long time that Britain sits atop energy reserves that would be accessible if they were prepared to allow fracking. And yet this has always been very controversial, including among a lot of the NIMBY wing in the Conservative Party, the anti-development types or the countryside or shire Tories who don't want any of this kind of activity out in rural areas. And so what she discovered here is that, you know, you can make a very solid argument that more energy production and more fossil fuel production has got to be part of the long-term solution for Britain's economic woes. And yet this was an argument that voters were not accustomed to hearing, because they'd been hearing from politicians of both sides of the aisle about green energy for so many years. And her own party wasn't really accustomed to hearing this argument. And so I think that what was happening is that Britain had reached a point where someone really did, I mean, they need to rush to do these things. They do not have a lot of time to dawdle at this point, given the poor state of the economy. And yet it does take time to build that political groundwork. And it was obvious all along. In fact, I wrote about this before she even announced that budget, that she was likely to run into problems because she was trying to do it from a standing start. So I think there's a lesson here about the political things that you need to do, the steps that you cannot get around if you want to have any hope of building, you know, public and political support for that kind of policy.
The fracking comes up in Parliament, energy, and the debate is dissolute until there's a question of competence of government. This becomes arcane. However, we're told that there's fighting in the lobbies outside the Commons and a lot of huzzas and shouting and finger pointing, and that leads eventually to a complete loss of confidence in Liz Truss, according to Liz Truss. Did I hear that correct, Joe, that the reason she resigned is because she thought she could no longer lead because her own party had turned their backs on her? Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, part of her political problem is that the Conservative Party members of Parliament had never wanted her to be the leader. When she became the prime minister, it was to replace Boris Johnson. He had been ousted because of this whole kerfuffle about those lockdown parties in his Downing Street offices. The party had not wanted to be in the position of picking a new prime minister in the first place. They had no choice. And then they did this procedure where the, you know, members of Parliament in the Conservative Party had whittled it down to two finalists, and she was the second place finisher in that race, but she was very popular among the grassroots members who got the final vote on the leadership. So she was already always going to, you know, be destined to have this dilemma where she would be very popular among the party's faithful out in the countryside or the grassroots, but was not as popular among the people who she actually needed to get to vote for her laws in parliament. And I think that that all bubbled up at the end of her premiership. She had already started losing authority because she was backtracking a bit from some of the tax pledges that she had made. She had abandoned some of the tax cuts. And then you got to this fracking vote, which would have been controversial under the best of circumstances. And then you had a prime minister pushing a position, a prime minister who had not been popular with members of parliament to begin with, pushing a position that was unpopular with them after, you know, she had already been forced into a bunch of reversals on her other policies. And it starts sounding overdetermined that she was going to run into trouble at that point.
The video is on the Wall Street Journal site right now. The prime minister versus the blob, the permanent government that runs Britain. We call it the swamp. Liz Truss's 44 days in power with Joseph Sternberg explaining the financial bit. But Liz Truss is very convincing on camera to reflect upon what happened in those 44 or 49 days. Recommended highly.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.